Father, we come before you knowing that your hand is upon us and that you're about to do a mighty work. And we're grateful for the building blocks and all the other things that you've prepared. In Jesus' name.
You know, the Holy Spirit, when He begins a work in us, it's a genuine work. It's a thorough work. The full workings of what He needs. And I'd like you to come with me to Matthew chapter 11. You know, our God is a God of love, a God of mercy. But He also is a God of patterns. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. He follows certain patterns on a regular basis. Verse 1 says, after Jesus had finished instructing His 12 disciples, He went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask Him, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? Now, we know for sure that the Lord had already been baptized by His cousin John the Baptist. He had already received a vision. He was told by the Holy Spirit that voice had come to Him like it did to Maria. This is my Son. And He heard with His own ears. Now, that's John the Baptist who did this. And still, now that he's in prison, he's in that dry place. And Maria, you were in a dry place, but God ordained the dry places. You say, well, why does He ordain dry places? Because you'd never appreciate a miracle if you didn't flow in dry places. You know, sometimes you end up speaking things that you don't expect. Something bubbles out of your mouth, especially to those who are part-time believers. Anybody know any part-time believers? They're only believers when everything is good. As soon as something harsh or difficult comes along, they're all done believing. They want to run, put their little tail between their legs, feel sorry for themselves, but that's it. We had a nice miracle happen in our family. A little dog that was only a few weeks old needed to have major surgery to the tune of many hundreds of dollars. And the doctor said, we don't know, it could be something terminal. And when you just purchase a puppy, you don't want to lose it. They were already, the whole family was in love. And we became the godparents. And to make a long story short, the surgery was completed. The pooch started to want food again, but they waited for the miracle to be confirmed. How many know you need confirming words sometimes? They took the obstruction out in the bowel line because the little pooch couldn't hold anything down. And he's a miniature collie. He's gorgeous. And he knows it. Well, they got the report that something that's never been known to have happened before. Are you hearing me? Something that they've never known in the history of the vets. A bone was growing. And it caused the obstruction. There was no cancer. And of course, guess what? The whole house went into great joy. And my niece calls me and she says, "Well, no, Kim," she says, "the pooch is going to be fine." She says, "He's going to be okay. He's perfectly okay." She says, "About what did we ever cry?" I said, "And how do you feel now?" I said, "Did God exist during the time that you wept, waiting for the good report?" "Yeah. But nobody reminds me of that except you." I said, "Well, that's my job." I said, "Could you enjoy this moment of happiness to the degree that you've got victory had you not been into the hard space or the harsh space or the dry place?" John the Baptist is in a dry place. He's sitting in prison. He's surrounded by crooks. And guess what? The war is on against whom? Him. Right or wrong? Could it be a pattern God uses? Is it a pattern of your lifestyle? Think about what I'm giving you. I'm trying to make you aware that there will be hard places and you will question your own obedience to God, to the Holy Spirit, to the ways of His Spirit, and you will recognize that He was on the job even though your unbelief was being what? Exposed. My unbelief gets exposed when the thought patterns come back in. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, pull down those thought patterns. I don't always succeed. Sometimes I lose track of how many there are. I lose track of how many lies have been perpetrated and how many know that once you begin to believe the list of lies, pretty soon you can, "Well, wait a minute. Would you go back and check and see, is He really the one that's going to save me, or can I expect someone else to come in and save me this time? Or maybe save myself this time?" Catch on? What am I telling you? I'm telling you to go back to the Lord. Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cured. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the good news is preached to the poor." Next part. "Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." Blessed is the man who what? Does not fall away on account of whom? Him. He's the cause that you fall. He's the reason that you get tested. He's the reason that all the lies come into your heart. He's the reason that the deceiver's pushing buttons to get you to what? Quit, give up, what else? Question. You question, is He really my Savior? Is He really the one that's going to set me free? Is He really going to take me at His word? Even though I've declared His promises, I doubt. And when I doubt, I what? I remember the Holy Spirit telling me one time, "Kim, doubts are seeds of fear. Doubts are seeds of fear. They come, bloop, one here, bloop, another one there, bloop." And you know what? I heard an expression last week and I loved it. Every snowflake is different, right? What happens when they stick together? They cover the earth. Every thought pattern comes in with a little slight difference. But when they stick together, they will what? They'll cover your mind. With what? Unbelief. And the doubts will grow. And you start questioning your sanity. And you'll start questioning if He really is your healer and your deliverer. Why? Why are we tested? Take out the dross. And you cannot take out the dross without fire. Okay? Last week, on Tuesday, I believe, the burning bush was visible. Okay? And I said to the Lord, whoa, this is awesome. And he said, did it consume? I said, no. It left the branches intact. Scripture says in John 15, I am the vine and you are the... And the fire will not consume the branches. It'll consume the chaff. It'll consume the garbage. It won't char you. Okay? Now, as John's disciples, verse 7, were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. Now, isn't this cool? Is he upset with John because he's in a test and he's in prison and he's in a dry place? No, of course not. He's going to brag on him. What did you come out, or did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes! I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet. Now, you better put that yet in there. Yet. Now, he's given him quite a title. Among those born of women, does that include every single man and woman? Among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet, he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Woohoo! Tap your neighbor on the shoulder. Say, guess what? You are greater than John the Baptist. Ah. Now close your eyes. I'm going to believe this next statement. Say it. It's really true. I am greater than John the Baptist because Christ Jesus lives in me by His Holy Spirit. Yes, I am greater than every man and woman of the Old Covenant. Wow. And now you wonder why old Scratch is coming around bringing you with seeds of bad thoughts. He's testing you. He's checking you out. And he'd be stupid if he didn't. And we know one thing. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. He's a stealer. But are you going to let him get away with it?
No, no more.
Okay. And if you are God's creation, greater than John the Baptist, which you are, if you are the Son of God, if you are a son of God, if you are a daughter of God, if you didn't get checked out, there'd be something wrong. Huh? How many have got children? How many see themselves in children? Yeah, I see myself in my kids, and sometimes I'd like to wring out what I see because, boy, oh boy, I don't like it.
But sometimes I see the good. Not always the bad. Amen? And what do? Oh. You bark a little. Sometimes out loud, yes. That's right. So what am I saying? Hear where I'm coming from right now. You are tested for a reason and for a season. And it will be hard. I hate to say it, but it will be hard. It is dry. It's intended of God to wake you up. Okay. Now, are you ready for the next verse? Verse 12. From days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing. Forcefully advancing. And forceful men lay hold of it. Forceful men. In other words, men and women that choose to push the word of God ahead of their thoughts. Amen. Ahead of the lies they've believed. Ahead of the deception that they've walked in. Ahead of the accuser's deceiving ways. And emotions are involved. Because he pushes emotions. Why? Because that's his realm. Okay? That's his realm. And the part of Adam that has not been renewed in us is the realm of the flesh. Yoo-hoo! Yeah. Do you ever have any problems with your flesh?
No.
No, of course not. Give it time, you will. Right or wrong? Give it time, you will.
Crucify it.
Yes.
You will.
All right. Now, what am I getting at? I'm getting at to understand that, yes, you are made out of flesh, and God knows your weakness, and so do some of your family members. Come on. Yeah, they do. You know why? Because they'd like to straighten you out. Amen? How many wives would like to straighten out their husbands? Yes. How many husbands would like to straighten out their wives? There you go. And guess what? Impossible. You tried for 16 years, it won't work. How about if we all retire from that job? Huh. That makes a lot of sense. So close your eyes. Say, I'm all done trying to fix the ones that I love the most. Because if I don't retire from that job, God can't pick it up.
Amen?
My job is to be a lover. Full time. And the pay is heavenly. Catching on? Are you catching on? If you try to straighten him out or her out, if you try to save them, they're just going to rebel. They're going to get angry with you. And they should. Because if they tried to do it to you, you'd do it back to them. And guess what you get? Who showed me a zero? Thank you. You can rub the circle out while you're at it. Yeah, thank you. You get absolutely nowhere trying to dictate to someone how to live. Absolutely nowhere. All you're going to get is more garbage. And you know what? The bickering will put your people and yourself in a crazy space. You're going to wonder if life is worth living. It's true. Forceful men are those who take the choice to love those that are not being lovely. Forceful women are those who force themselves to love beyond the pain. Yes or no? Beyond the pain. You see, it's wonderful to be in love, and we've all been in love. Oh,
so infatuated. They're doing absolutely nothing wrong. They could never make a mistake. I'll give them all they want.
That's being in love. That's being in lust. Because they're giving in to you for what you want. And as soon as you have a place where they cannot receive from you, they turn. They're not in love with you. They're in lust with you. Come on, please join me. Thank you. See, and we have the television community. We have the publicity community that tell us, oh my God, this one's in love. They're not in love, they're in lust. And they can't tell the difference. But you can. Because love never gives up. Love never sees when the other one does it wrong. Check it out. Love hardly notices when they make a mistake, and you will be there to defend them. That's love. It's the truth. It's the truth. All right. And love is a decision that you make. It's a quality decision. And you know what? Your emotions are going to go up and down, everywhere you think they could never hit, it will hit. But God's Word says the forceful ones are going to make sure that the kingdom gets what? Completed inside of me. The kingdom of God is in my heart. Okay? Is it your mouth that's confessing what the kingdom says? Or is it your mouth that's confessing what your emotions say? Ah, yikes. Yes. Amen.
Whoa.
Say it again, John.
The kingdom of God and the righteousness have to penetrate the middle of the dam, which is the heart.
Amen. Now, do you understand why it's hard for you to get here on Sunday morning?
The dog runs away.
There are times that the body of Christ, if it isn't together, if it isn't every single member giving a little piece of who they are, this church will suffer. Malik, I was talking about you the other day. I was bragging about the Holy Ghost inside of you. That's right. And you came even with a sore foot for the past 2 weeks. I compliment you, sir. You understand where I'm coming from. Every member, doesn't matter how old or how young, it doesn't matter. It may be a little tiny thing that you have to do to complete the kingdom in someone else. It just might be a nice hug that you give them. It might be a kiss on the cheek that'll give them courage to keep on going. It might be a word of knowledge that'll come out of your heart. Like last Tuesday night. And we had Jessica and her sister,
Jillian.
And all of a sudden, Andy got up and he had a word for that young lady and the other young lady. And he began to manifest. And Jessica got up and she said, wow, you're right on. We discussed this last Sunday. Yeah. Why is that important? Because every single member, every single part of the body is important. Every single member in your house is important. Every member of your workplace is important. Every time you give out love to those people that don't deserve it, it's important. Every time you lift up their names in prayer to God, it's important. Every time you stick your neck out and reach out to them to give them courage again and rebuild them, it's important. So don't give up. Be forceful to keep the kingdom going forward. Be forceful to just pour out love, even if they don't reserve or deserve it, in your opinion. One final thing I'm going to ask you to do. Just close your eyes for a moment. Say, Lord Jesus, give me the grace to love those that don't love me right now. In the way I want to be loved. In the way I deserve to be loved. And let my opinion fall to the ground. And let the love of Christ change those that are in my kingdom from the kingdom of Christ, which is the kingdom of love, compassion, mercy, and grace. And if I want to give it, it's a choice I make. And it's up to me to keep giving. That way there, it'll come back. Amen. And amen.